if he could have done it, he would have done it. He'd been an entrepreneur for 30 years at that point. And there's a reason he had only done solo things. So to take it to that next level, it did take manpower. And that manpower was me, the woman power.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am Andressa Gadali.
And we are the hosts of the Invest Her podcast. So what does it really take to scale a business? There's actually no roadmap. And there are a ton of different nuances at play every single day as you scale. However, there are key steps that every single entrepreneur takes to build the business and scale on their own terms.
And that's exactly what you can expect from this episode. We have Isabel Gorino. She was able to scale her business from 1 to 50 employees after 30 years of her dad running the business on his own. She's going to be opening up the books of the conversations that she had with him, the conversations that she had to have with the team after his passing, and how she was able to not just navigate, but get the right people on the right seats and continue thriving the business. Don't miss this opportunity to also learn from her and gain the skills that you need to grow your business as well.
Hey guys, it's Liz. Before we get into the episode, I want to remind you that time is running out. And you just have 3 weeks left to get your ticket to InvestorCon 2024, the number one premier conference for women in real estate. It's happening from June 2nd to 4th in Austin, Texas. To learn more and to get your ticket, go to investhercon.com today and use the code 100podcast to get $100 off your ticket. That's investher, H-E-R-con.com, promo code 100podcast to get $100 off your ticket.
You ever feel like your vacation rental sits empty too often? Missing out on potential income? Look, you're not alone. Many property owners struggle with underperforming bookings and the complexities of property management. But here's some good news. Vacasa outperforms other property managers in 92% of the markets they operate. They've helped homeowners like you increase their bookings by an average of 24%, turning those empty days into profitable opportunities. Want to see what your earnings could look like with Vacasa? Visit biggerpockets.com/Vacasa, spelled V-A-C-A-S-A, and get a free personalized income estimate today. That's biggerpockets.com/Vacasa.
Doing business with family members is not an easy task. I don't know about you, but today we have Isabel here, and we're going to dissect a dynamic. How can you actually leverage that and continue having a relationship with your family? That's important, isn't it? So we are looking to grow the business while still maintaining relationship. And for many of you, you are doing private money lending with your family members. But Isabel, you guys have built a successful business. So let's dissect that. Tell me how you got to be part of your family business.
Yeah, well, my father's had started our business and he had been a solopreneur, a real estate investor most of his life. And when I was older, I went to college and graduated, moved out to Miami to do Teach for America, became a flight attendant, all these different things. And I had never really wanted to dive into real estate. I grew up watching him do that, but it never really intrigued me until I moved back home because I was making no money. And I saw that he had sold all of the real estate investments that he was doing. And he was doing one thing, which was assisted living. I started on my off days, like going into his office and be like, what are you doing? What's going on here? And eventually I was like, I think you need an assistant. Like, things are disorganized. Organization is my key quality. Like, let me help you out. And we had those conversations about, hey, it's going to cost this much to hire me, to take me away, which I wasn't making much at all. So he could very easily afford me. And I started working for him as his assistant. And we ended up growing the company from one company to, I want to say, six companies, and just the two of us to almost 50 employees. So it really started just him letting me in and then grew from there. But I did not grow up in a family business, which is very different than I know a lot of people experience. So it's a little bit different, but I have loved every minute of it.
Let's dissect that, right? Because you guys were able to scale and you were an instrumental piece to that, right? Because if he were to do that before, you would have done it. So what worked for you guys? What was the secret formula there that allowed you and him to scale the business and still be family.
Exactly. I think one of the biggest things was, honestly, being family was probably our superpower, because I already knew his triggers. I already knew the way he thinks and when he's saying something, what he means, like the innuendos. So it was actually a lot easier for me to be on meetings with him, because he's saying something, you know, notating, do this later or don't forget this. And I would already know what things he would need from that, what he would forget. So I would know how to write that down and retranslate that back to him. And it really ended up becoming this like beautiful working relationship, because I knew where his strengths and weaknesses were. And I think he also learned mine in that sense as well. It's a beautiful thing to be able to work with your parent, because we really only know them in one light our whole lives as a parent. And to be able to work with them as a mentor, as a boss, and truly we became best friends, that was a whole new realm. And I got to really know and love him in a different light as a man. And that was really cool. But since then, all three of my other siblings have worked with us. All of their partners have worked with us. Uncles, cousins, my mom. I mean, it has spread very wide.
You guys, did you write a book about running a business as a family? Because you guys still do Thanksgiving together?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go. So there we go.
Let's break that down, because you know, it's interesting that you said something I think very powerful, is that when you're working closely with people, whether it's your dad or, you know, a partner, right? You said, I really understood his triggers. Tell us more about that. What was a trigger, and what were you really appreciative that you knew, and how did you adapt, or how did you navigate that? Because I think that happens to all partners, to all team members. We all trigger each other, right? Me and I'm just a joke, because I'm her trigger and she's my trigger. Like, yes. Literally, from all the assessments we've taken, I'm like, Anjessa, this is exactly what triggers me. Oh, that describes you. No, and I'm the same for her. So it's useful for everyone, let alone your family. So tell us about what the trigger was and how you navigate that, because I think that's going to be helpful for everyone listening.
For sure. I knew that we would get onto certain meetings. You guys know how this goes. Someone contacts the company. They're like, let me talk to the owner. And there has to be some form of a gatekeeper, right? So sometimes someone would slip through the cracks. We'd get on the meeting together and we'd realize within 5 minutes, he doesn't need to be on this. This is something I could handle. And instead of wasting his next hour, hour and a half,
which would have made him crazy.
Oh, yeah. And I knew that after, if I didn't get him off this meeting quick, I was going to hear about it later. Like, you could have handled this. Why did I have to be on this? So it was like, nope. As soon as I realized, I would make up some sort of excuse to exit him, I'll handle it and finish the meeting. And then that way that person got to see the owner. They, you know, whatever, got what they needed. But he was like, thank you for saving me from that. And I learned that through trial and error and realizing that obviously time is so important to all of us in business, but really as the integrator to his visionary, I had to protect his time. That was so key and so important. And I think keeping him on task and knowing that hour could be much better spent doing something else. Let me get him off ASAP and not make him look like the bad guy. I took on the role of the bad guy a lot of times in our business, which was a huge transition when now I had to become the visionary. But, you know, as the integrator, I really had to wear that crown of let me protect, let me be the defense, let me be the bad guy in this situation so he can stay the happy, you know, wonderful visionary that everyone loves.
And we all need that. We all need that. If you're in a position, I always say to Liz, like, I need people around me that hold space for me. Right? That I can look at them and they're like, I need to get her out of this situation quickly. Whatever you're going to make it, there was a situation. How can I say this without telling names? Well, nobody's going to know, right? I was in a situation, right? I look at Liz, I'm like, I need to get out of this situation here, any way, shape, or form. So I call one of our team members and I say, you need to get me out of this situation. You invent whatever you need to invent me here, but I can't continue this waste of time here. It's very clear to me I am on the wrong place, so take me out. So it was funny that she was coming with a person next to me, and immediately she looked at me and she said, I am so sorry you are not feeling well. I got you sparkling water, so I hope you feel better. I was like, thank you very much. Right? I did not know what's going to come out of her mouth. I was just like, thank you very much. I hope I feel better too. Thank you. I apologize. I got to get going. Right? So I can feel better. Hold space. We are here to really for the mission, right? If we are all in the same boat for the mission, for why everybody is doing what they're doing, I think that that's the key. But I want to talk to you about the not so proud moments. If you will allow me to go there. I'm sure you had to have conversations with your dad that were not the most pleasant, and there were breakdowns, and I want to know how you guys navigated that. And because it's rough when you have those type of conversations at work, and then you go home and that person is there and we were having dinner with each other, right? I think many, many women that have partners that work with and family members have that struggle of what are the boundaries. So I want to know from you guys' perspective, how are you able to merge both worlds, and what boundaries did you guys put in place so you wouldn't spill out across the board?
You know, I think early on, as we were building the business, I had truly been there from the beginning. It was him and I. And like you said in the beginning, I don't typically take a ton of credit for, oh, this is why we launched. But the reality is what you said, if he could have done it, he would have done it. He'd been an entrepreneur for 30 years at that point, and there's a reason he had only done solo things. So to take it to that next level, it did take manpower, and that manpower was me, the woman power.
Yes, it took woman power.
I like that. That's right. Yes.
So I think at one point when I was going from his assistant to like, what am I? I'm clearly more than this, because I was taking on so many roles within the business. I had really taken on everything and then hired out every position I was doing, whether that's social media, marketing, finance, all these different departments. I was on the phones, right? I was carrying around two phones all the time. And as you're building a business, you do everything. So then we had a meeting with a business consultant, and they were like, you need to name someone the COO, like who is going to be your right-hand person. And his brother, my uncle, was working for us. He still does. And my dad had kind of thrown out his name. And I was so offended that I had been the one there from the beginning. I had done every single thing. He had done one role, and they had worked together in the past when they were young. They did a ton of businesses together. So they knew each other, very comfortable with each other. They had more time together than him and I did, right? But it was like, I felt like he was totally overlooking me. And I was so offended, but also didn't really know, am I allowed to say something right now? And who am I to say something? I'm at that point probably 24 years old. What do I know?
How did you guys navigate that?
Yeah, I was doubting myself. I had such imposter syndrome, like maybe I don't deserve this. Maybe I do need to put in more time. Maybe I'm too young, or this isn't the right role for me. And I just know, I remember sitting down and actually asking my mom, because at the time she wasn't working in the business and she was kind of the sounding board for all of us. And I remember sitting down saying, why wouldn't he have thought of me? And she just like told me basically like, well, maybe, I'm assuming, right? Maybe he is scared to give you that pressure. You're his daughter. He knows his brother. He's done business with him before. And maybe he just doesn't want to put a big burden on you because he knows what this entails. And it really made me think of things differently, that in that moment, I think my dad thought he was protecting me. And I felt so offended because I didn't understand what he was thinking. And when I got to sit down and tell him, like, this hurt my feelings, I don't know why you wouldn't have thought of me, he was like, oh my God, I did not mean to at all. And we had that conversation and got to go deeper. And eventually he did end up choosing me, which really upset my uncle on the same token, because he's like, I've got all this experience. Are you kidding me? She's a kid. And it then set us up for, you know, rough road ahead, trying to navigate that. So definitely that was one of the biggest, like, how dare you not think of me, right? Like, what is all this work I've put in? But then him thinking he's doing it with the best intentions. And it was just such a miscommunication because of assumptions.
Zabel, I just want to acknowledge and commend you for having the courage to speak your truth. Because many times we are our parents' children and we don't want to upset them. We don't want to challenge them. We don't want to put them in uncomfortable conversations. And I really, really want to acknowledge your courage to have that conversation with your parent to make sure you guys were on the same page. I can't imagine what would the company be, you would be, if that hasn't happened. It would be in a completely different lives, right? And all the good stuff. I think a lot of people don't want to have those conversations because they are so fearful of what the bad things that can happen. But look how you guys were able to really bloom, not the company, but your own relationships. But I don't want to discount that courage that you had to have that conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
And then how have you been able to navigate? I'm just curious, how have you been able to navigate with your uncle? Does he still work with you? Did it just take some healing, more conversations, more breakdowns?
He's not invited to Thanksgiving.
No, actually, for years, we kind of had a rough road. It was, we would often find ourselves kind of having like a, we got to take this outside moment, you know? It was hard for him. It was interesting. I had a moment where I'm in a disagreement with him. We're like, you know, yelling at each other and not in a good mood. And it was bad. And I just thought for a moment, what if my niece in 20 years was my boss and was walking around like she knew better than me and was, you know, not taking my advice and not doing this. And I've just felt like, I've done so much. I've accomplished so much. Like how, what? And I just realized for a moment, he views me as a child. And I was very, very lucky that my parents really, I don't know how, because I just had my son 10 weeks ago and I,
congrats.
Yeah, thank congrats. You. He's obviously such a baby, but as you know, grow with them, like my parents really treated us as whatever age we were. And when we became adults, they treated us as adults versus I think it's very different in a, you know, aunt or uncle, you know, relationship. They don't see you maybe as often. And so he saw me a lot when I was younger and not as much when I was older. And now we're working together and he probably still viewed me as that 10-year-old little girl. And I just realized for a moment, oh, he doesn't see me the way my dad sees me. I need to reintroduce him to who I am as an adult woman. And we need to build this relationship. And it changed my perspective of instead of being feisty and not understanding why he didn't see my value to being like, pause, I need to open his eyes. And I really started to try to work with him in a different way and communicate with him in a different way. And I took it, to be honest, way more instead of family. I was like, we're going more business. And because I need him to see me in this. And I would just have like very blunt conversations, no more yelling. From that day forward, I was like, I'm not going to yell with him. I'm going to, you know, present it like, hey, if we were in a corporate company right now, you would never speak to your boss that way. So I'm going to let you take a moment and come back when you're ready to speak.
Look at you. Woo!
And he was like, what's happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now he saw me in a different light. And I just like realized this is what I have to do. My father has since passed. And that's kind of where that transition happened from integrator to visionary. And my uncle still works with me to this day. And we actually have a beautiful working relationship. And I adore working with him because it reminds me so much of my father.
Exactly. I want to dissect into that transition because we love the subject of integrators and visionaries. Love, love, love. Before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
I used to think working from home was the dream, until it wasn't. Between the distractions and the solitude, I was struggling.
But then I discovered Industrious Office, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Every day at Industrious feels like stepping into a zone of productivity. The high-speed internet never fails me during crucial moments, and the workspace? It's not only stylish, but designed to boost your focus and creativity. Plus, the daily breakfast and endless coffees are super cool. Meeting other driven professionals right where I work has not just expanded my network, it's inspired me. It's amazing how being around other focused people can push you to achieve more, you know what I mean? If you're looking for a sign to change your workspace, this is it. Check out Industrious by visiting biggerpockets.com/industrious. Then click join now and use the promo code POCKETS to get a free week of co-working when you take a tour. That's biggerpockets.com/industrious and use promo code POCKETS after clicking join now. Experience for yourself how the right environment can change the way you work. Industrious, it's where your best work happens. I'm curious, have you been struggling to keep your vacation rental booked? I totally get it. It's tough to manage and keep filled. But we found something that really works. It's called Vacasa. They've seriously changed the game for a lot of the BP audience. In almost every market they're in, Vacasa manages to fill up the calendar more than anyone else. And get this, the average Vacasa user sees about 24% more bookings than with other managers. That's a lot of extra income. Curious to see what you could be earning? You can get a personalized income estimate right there. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at what Vacasa can do for you. Check out biggerpockets.com/Vacasa, spelled V-A-C-A-S-A. biggerpockets.com/Vacasa.
All right, let's talk about visionaries and integrators. And for those of you that are listening, two books that we're going to recommend, Traction and Rocket Fuel. Read Traction first and then Rocket Fuel later on. And on Rocket Fuel, you will have a quick quiz to understand if you are a visionary or an integrator. Quick summary about that. Visionaries have a lot of ideas, are very creative. A lot of those ideas do not turn into actions. That's why many of them need integrators. Integrators think in bullet points, are very rational. They already run the entire course before they even take a step further, right? And many, many times they also hold back. The integrator job, I always say, it's to say no to the visionaries. So poor Liz says, give me 10 ideas. I say yes to one of them, no to all the other ones.
And then I take personally all of my ideas. I take it personally now. No, working
but we
on
have
that.
A special place to park those ideas, right? Is no now, right? So that's our jobs here. So I am an integrator. Liz is a visionary. But for you, Isabel, you are in different positions. So share with us your transition, per se, going from a integrator position to more stepping into a visionary position. First of all, are you a true integrator or a visionary?
You know, I test extremely high on both. I think I was like 85% visionary and like 70% integrator. So
that's you, Andressa, isn't it?
That's me. Yes, that's me. Yes. But the opposite. I am higher on integrator and yeah, right there on the visionary. So we are the freaking unicorns. That's what we are.
Exactly, because that is kind of rare to have someone who tests really high in both. A lot of times it's pretty obvious which one you are. So
I was more obvious. There's very little integrator in me. I mean, on my best day, I'm an okay integrator. Like my best day, like this is Liz's best day. I'm an okay one.
I love it. Well, when we had taken that test, because we run the EOS systems and all of that good stuff, you know, my dad had tested more like you, Liz, where it was much higher in visionary and really nothing in integrator. And I was already kind of working as the integrator within the system, even though we didn't have that title to it yet. And I think it worked well because, like we talked about in the beginning, I kind of knew the missing pieces to help him put it together. Or when I could tell when he was thinking something, okay, let me break it down in this way, hand it back to him. I always used to say this, and maybe Andressa, you can understand this. His ideas was like a broken fountain, just spouting off. And I was like, just run around with a bucket and try to catch the ideas. Like we just catch them. When he would tell me all these ideas, I would be like, okay, great. Let me go away. I'm going to come back with how it's done, the team it's going to take, the process, the timeline, the price. And what has to be put on hold, stop, or is going to be messed up if we do this? And now give it back to him in a way he could digest it to then say, oh my God, heck no, I don't want to do that. That's all right.
So Tesla's like, Oh, I didn't think of that.
Right.
I don't think of that.
I didn't think of that. That's a common phrase.
Or be like, amazing, let's go for it. Go ahead. And now it's like, okay, we bring it to the team. And so I really liked that because it taught me a lot in business of just how to take an idea and bring it to fruition. And it was a really fun thing to be able to do that with him because he was such a visionary. So when that transition happened, my father passed and it was kind of the time to say, uh-oh, like who is going to step into this role if not me? And again, our business consultant, you know, we had conversations with him, and this is why it's so valuable to have mentors and coaches who you work with, not once in a blue moon, but who know you, who know your business. It's so important because he sat me down and he was like, why not you? Like, again, why are you doubting yourself? Why are you feeling this imposter syndrome? And I was like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, you've had the ideas all along. Like, that's why he likes to work with you. He liked to work with you because he'd say an idea, you'd say an idea, and you guys would go back and forth.
Bounce it. Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, that is why he enjoyed that. And so I was like, okay. And I kind of like went back and, you know, processed and realized again, it was kind of like, okay, are we going to shut our doors? Am I going to hire someone outside who really doesn't know the culture and the vision and everything? Or am I going to step up to the plate and make it happen? And we made that transition and I, you know, jumped into that role. And at first I told the team, like, you know, on one hand, I'm grieving my father. On the other hand, I'm grieving my role in the business. Yes, to the outside.
That's intense.
It's a lot. Yeah. When you lose
and that's the truth.
And that's the truth.
Like, again, that is the truth. And I am so glad you were able to verbalize it to the team so they were aware of. It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. And from the outside, I'm still working for the same business. So no one understands that every single part of my day to day changed. Everything that's being asked of me, the way I have to think, the way I have to communicate, who I now am, all of that changed overnight. And that was sad because I loved being an integrator. As happy as I was to make the transition, there was a lot of sadness in losing that part of me. And it took a moment to kind of come to that realization. So once I kind of really learned to step into that role and understand these new expectations that were being asked of me, it started to be a lot of fun because now it was like, oh, now I can spout the ideas and have somebody tell me what it's going to take or how it's going to happen or no, right? And I was like, this is kind of great. Like now I can just go crazy. And so I started this thing where at least once a week, I would just have, you know, a journal or a pad open and I would just write ideas, like everything I could think of that would make us money, a new idea, new product, hiring this new person, what I wanted to see on this, and just go crazy with my ideas and just give it to my integrator every week and basically be like, have fun with this. Pretty much tell me yes, no, maybe so. You pick out the gold. And we really learned to work together in that way. And I'm blessed that I found an amazing integrator who is fabulous at saying no, but also really touches the vision. And it's actually been really fun to step into that power and be able to exercise this skill that I did always have, but I also had to push down a little bit in myself because that wasn't my role. It wasn't my job. And now it is. And now I get to do that. And so it's been really a beautiful transition, but sad, happy, a lot of things mixed into it.
How have you, I'm really curious as about how have you been able to transition letting go of the integrator role with this new person? Was there moments of that, I had to be transition of like, kind of like a little micromanaging? Tell us a little bit about that. Because once you're doing, for so many women, right, once they're looking to move from that solopreneur and build that team, some of them have a hard transition of letting go because they have done it so well, right? They have that badge of honor. So what was that like for you and how were you able to stay in your lane, your newer lane, right? And let go of the integrator role?
You know, I made a big failure mistake in the process of this. I had met a gal who I fell in love with and I was always had her in my mind. Like if anything ever opens up, I'm going to call her. Like she, I just love her energy. I love her vibe. None of the rest of my team had met her. And when this transition happened, I was like, that's who I want. So I called her up. I'm like, hey, do you want to, you know, come work for us? And she was actually looking for a new job. So it was perfect timing. Well, in this conversation, she said, you know, the company I work at, I have a girl who works with me who, if I leave, she's going to want to leave. Do you have a second role? And I was like, I don't know. I don't even know who this girl is. I'm only looking for one. Maybe I need an assistant. So we ended up hiring them both on. Hiring an integrator who's not already involved in the company was one of the biggest mistakes I made. The team vehemently rejected her, like was so aggressive and mean to her. And I had never seen my team members act like this. I was embarrassed. I was pissed. I was like, what is wrong with you guys? She's incredible. And she is incredible. But it is very hard to bring an outsider in as their boss when we just went through something catastrophic. I've never had a boss die, right? And like, now this is my dad, but like my team members, their boss just literally passed away. And now someone brand new who
like
wasn't
a loyalty, maybe psychologically, they felt the loyalty to your dad. You know, I'm not trying to justify their behavior. They were also grieving your dad. They were also like, I'm loyal to him and to you. That's like a organ transplant kind of deal, right? You are bringing outsider inside. And how did you guys navigate that?
It was not easy. They were very upset and we had so many harsh conversations and I was trying really, really hard to make it work because she was skilled. She was perfect. And I wanted the differences she was bringing. I wanted that. I knew we needed that. So they were, honestly, I felt like it was a mutiny. I felt like they were all going to be like, we're all out of here if you go with this girl. And it's like, well, I love you all. I want you here. If this is not a fit, this is not a fit at some point. And so I eventually ended up letting go of that integrator and having a harsh conversation with them, which was basically like, never put me in this position again. Like I am, even though I'm conceding and letting her go, I'm pissed at all of you now. Like,
for the record, let the record show.
So oh my God. I don't think there is a right or a wrong. I think everybody, and I appreciate your honesty and openness to do this. We don't have those types of conversations often. And I think we can relate to what what you went through. And it's not, I don't think there is a roadmap. Yeah. For us to navigate and say, hey, when your team rejects somebody, this is the path that you go. You are dealing with so many emotions and pieces that are not even like, it's a new game. It's not chess. Chess is not anything that you played before. It is not existent. So, and then you ended up hiring a new person. Was that the case?
What ended up happening was the girl who I had hired on as my assistant, they all loved her. And I think the difference was she was coming in as an equal, not above them. And so they really loved her and she fit the culture phenomenally. And so as I started giving her more and more tasks, we kind of had 2-3 months, basically a whole quarter without an integrator. And it was just like, okay, like, I guess I'm going to do both of these roles and this is how it's going to have to be. But then as I started passing more to her, she really started proving herself as being highly capable and they all loved her. And it was like,
thank goodness. Hallelujah.
Thank goodness. Exactly. And eventually it was kind of like, I realized they want to be involved in this nomination of who is the right person. So I knew I wanted it to be her. But at our next quarterly meeting, I said, guys, I can no longer hold both of these roles. I need to hire an integrator. And either I have to go find an outside person or we have to nominate someone within the company to take over this role. I want everyone to basically submit their votes to me. I am not going to necessarily go with who you choose. But I just want to hear what you guys think. I want your voices to be heard. I'm still making the final decision. They unanimously voted for her.
Wow. All right. Wow. Great.
Interesting.
I am like breathing now.
I know.
I feel it.
She is amazing. And
thank God.
The other gal found an amazing job where she's an integrator and she's doing amazing.
Nice.
So it all worked out. But I realized something really, really important in that is it is just hard when you have a very solid team to bring in someone else on top, unless you run a very corporate structure. If you're a small business or a family business, it's not going to work. They have to rise up, right? They can't come down like this because it's always going to be taken the wrong way.
Yeah. Looking back, that probably happened to us, Liz.
Yeah, I'm doing the same
thing.
Is that
coming back to your head? We're like, everybody rejected, get out.
Yeah, totally. And having to navigate that, and it makes a lot of sense, but in hindsight, right? Always.
Yeah.
Isabel, this has been amazing. And I love the depth that we've gone through in running this, family-owned business and what you guys do and your focus on residential assisted living, which has been your niche. And that's what we're so excited about, that you'll be speaking at InvestorCon. And it's such a, I'm so personally excited. I'm going to have to just say, Andressa, I'm out of this meeting. I'm going to just jump into that session because...
No, the reason why she's saying that, because we were in my neighbor's, she won't be able to attend. And I start talking about your session. My neighbor was like, come on, can you share with me at least the recording? Because now I'm like, I really want to go there. So Liz's like, I'm going to her session. I was like, I need you.
But we'd love to hear from you, Isabel. I know we've been talking about, obviously, residential assisted living. I don't want you to give too much away. But if you can, tee it up of what women are going to walk away with from your session. That's going to be super amazing.
Yeah, I love residential assisted living as a real estate investment opportunity. I think the trends are just going that direction. The silver tsunami of seniors is coming and we cannot stop it. And we like to show people, and especially women, because let's be real, typically when a loved one needs care and assistance, it falls on the adult daughter. We call her Daughter Judy, right? Jokingly, but that's typically who is in charge of making these decisions or quitting her job to take care of mom or dad full time. We found a solution where you can really merge that with assisted living and real estate investing and become not the caregiver. You get to stay the daughter, cash flow, and have your loved ones live for free. So I'm really excited to be at InvestorCon in June. It's going to be an amazing event, but I'll be showing, how we can be making at least $10,000 a month on one property. And it'll be a great session.
That's great. Isabel, and as we wrap up, where can all the ladies listening learn more about you and start preparing their questions for InvestorCon in June?
I love it. Well, on Instagram, I'm at the Isabel Guarino, and I'd love to connect with you guys there. Our businesses are at RAL Academy, but feel free to follow me and reach out with any questions before or after the event. I can't wait to meet everyone there.
Isabel, thank you so much. All this information you guys can find on our show notes. I will see you in June. And for those of you, click the link below. We're going to have all the information for you to get the opportunity to meet Isabel and all over 30 speakers and 500 women who are playing at the same level, ladies. Don't miss this opportunity. Thanks again, Isabel.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.